We're in John chapter 13 this morning, and before we really begin to get into the message and to look at the scriptures, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to think in your mind, just get the picture of someone on your heart, on your mind, who has done you wrong. Get somebody in mind who has disappointed you, or maybe used you, or misused you, or abused you, betrayed you, they failed you. In some kind of way, just get that person in your mind for just a moment. Now, that may be any number of persons. It may even be a son or a daughter. It may be a husband or a wife. It may be a father or a mother. It may be your boss. It may be your next-door neighbor. It may be somebody in the church. Someone who just let you down. Get them in your mind. You say, well, Brother Stephen, I can't think of anyone. If you're telling the truth, you're a very rare individual. If you can't think of anyone, get someone in your mind. You got them? Okay, we're going to look today in God's Word at what the Lord Jesus taught us that we should do about that individual. We're going to think about this subject, how to love as Jesus loved. Now, the scripture that we read this morning in John 13:34 is the last commandment that Jesus gave to His disciples before He was arrested, put on trial, and crucified. It's the last commandment that He gave. And it's an interesting thing because Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, just look at it again. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Notice how He repeats it now. That ye also love one another. Have you ever read that verse and wondered, why did Jesus call that a new commandment? I mean, after all, love's not new. It's not new today. It wasn't new in Jesus' day. And after all, even the Old Testament had commanded that we should love. So why is it that Jesus calls it a new commandment? Well, the new part is this, that Jesus says, love one another, how? As I have loved you. Now that is what made it new. I say to you that never before had the world seen the kind of love that the Lord Jesus showed when He came into this world. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. No one had ever seen the kind of love that the Lord Jesus had when He came into the world. It was radically new. It was radically different. And now, Jesus says, I want you to love others just as I have loved you. Now, you know, Jesus did not just teach and preach. Jesus demonstrated what He preached and what He taught. You notice how He said it? As I have loved you. Now, the greatest need of mankind is to love and to be loved. That is the greatest need that mankind has. Need love and need to be needed love is the most powerful force on the earth. Many years ago, there was a song that said, it's love that makes the world go around. Now, we know that's not true. It's not love that literally makes the world go around, but someone has said, love sure makes the trip a lot more worthwhile. And that's true, isn't it? And what the world needs now is love. And yet, do you know that we live in a time that love is passing us by? Did you know this is a true statement? It is harder to love today than it has ever been in the history of the world. Did you believe that? It's true. Do you know why that's true? Because when the Bible talks about the end times, do you know what it says? It says that in the last days, iniquity shall abound. And then it tells us what the result of that is. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That means that in the last days it's harder to love than it has ever been before. That love is just passing us by. The love of many shall wax cold. Now, what does that mean when the Bible says iniquity shall abound? Well, the word iniquity is a word that you could just read there, lawlessness. Lawlessness shall abound, and so then therefore the love of many shall wax cold. Well, what does that mean? We live in a day that lawlessness abounds. Out in our streets, even here in our own state of Arkansas, the natural state, in our own streets, people are shot to the death, sometimes for no reason at all, just murder. There is hatred, there is brutality on every hand. And what does that cause people to do? When there's that kind of lawlessness, it causes people to get very suspicious. Do you know what that lawlessness will do? It'll make a husband say to his wife, "Now don't you open that door for anybody unless you know who it is on the other side of the door." You know what lawlessness will do? It forces parents to have to say to their children, to a boy or girl, someone comes to you and says, "Show me where something is. Don't you go with them. You make sure that we know you're with them. You be very careful." Someone is stopped on the side of the road. It looks like they need help. Because lawlessness abounds, what do we say? "Oh, don't pull over. It might be a trap. They might be going to harm you." See, because lawlessness abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. It is harder to love today than ever before because iniquity is abounding. Lawlessness is abounding. And so we are intimidated. And so we get afraid. And we have no desire to share love with those who may desperately need it. And then because of that, we lose our love for people who are lost or wicked or vile. And yet Jesus comes saying, "You're to love one another as I have loved you." Now that person that I asked you to think about, to get in your mind, to picture for a moment, I want us to see what Jesus says today about how we are to love that person. Because if Jesus said, "I want you to love each other the same way that I love you," then that means we need to learn a little more about how Jesus loves us if we are to emulate Him. And if we're to follow His example, now Jesus was not only the great teacher, Jesus was the great example giver. Listen, when you talk about Jesus, do you know that in the strictest sense, it's not correct to say Jesus practiced what He preached. It's more correct to say He preached what He practiced. Who Jesus was, He was that great example. He declared that to us and said, "I want you to be the same." Now, you get that person in your mind. And listen, it may not be someone who's done you violently. I mean, it may be someone who's very close to you, but who has so disappointed you. How did Jesus teach us to love? Look back in verse 1 of chapter 13. "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father." Now, notice this phrase. "Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Now, that's the kind of love that He's talking about down in verse 34 when He says, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Now, how did He demonstrate that love? Look back up at verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet." Now, Jesus puts on the slave's garment. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begins to do slave labor. Now, think about that for a moment. He washes the feet of those smelly fishermen. And then after all of that is when He says, "I want you to love others as I have loved you." Now, I remind you of the feet that Jesus washed. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who just hours later was going to plant that slimy kiss upon the cheek of the Lord Jesus Christ and betray Him. He washed Judas' feet. He washed Simon Peter's feet, who He knew just hours later was going to deny Him. He washed Thomas's feet, who He knew that just days later would doubt His resurrection. The doubter, the denier, the betrayer, all of them were there. And every one of them had their feet washed by Jesus. And Jesus said, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." What kind of love was this? Four things. First of all, Jesus loved selflessly. Notice again in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. You see that contrast? I mean, Jesus, knowing who he was, that he was God Almighty, who had come to earth in human flesh, knowing that he was God, put on a slave's garments and began to wash their feet. And do you know what the disciples had just been doing right before this? John doesn't tell us, but Luke does. Luke spills the beans. And back in Luke chapter 22, listen to this scripture. In verse 24, there was a strife among them about which of them should be accounted the greatest. What had just happened? Those disciples were in an argument. I'm more important than you are. Who's greater, you or me? They had just been in this very argument when Jesus now washes their feet. Now notice what Jesus said to them. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ translated love for us. He illustrated it for us. By though he was the God of glory, acting like a slave, beginning to serve in that way. What had the devil said? The devil said, I will ascend and be like God. Jesus said, I will become sin for man and die for them. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? I love this. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. What do you and I want to do? We want to protect our reputation. We want our reputation to be a good reputation, don't we? Listen, we want to tell how we went from being nothing to being something. I mean, how many evangelists across America have this as their testimony? From the prison to the pulpit. What's that testimony? I went from nothing till I'm something. Jesus had the opposite testimony. He went from being the Lord of glory, King of heaven, to becoming in the form of a serpent. Being made of a serpent. Being made sin for you and for me. He made himself of no reputation. Listen, Jesus Christ did not come talking about how he went from lowliness to highness. He went from highness to lowliness. If there's anything we need in America today, it's true humility. Do you know what humility really is? Sometimes people get that wrong. In fact, I would even venture to say that most of the time, people get that wrong. What's humility? You know, it's difficult to describe in words, but it's easy to see in picture. You want to see humility? Look at it one more time in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Listen, humility is not someone standing up and saying, oh, I'm no good. Oh, I don't amount to anything. I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability. Friend, that's not humility. Don't get the idea that's humility. Now, you might think that you're being humble, but too many times when people say that, they're actually full of rotten pride, if the truth be told. They're actually looking for kind of a double compliment. I mean, let's say that I went over here to Greg, our organist, or to Bob, our pianist. Either one of them, I said, hey, you're a great organist, you're a great pianist. That's true of both of them. Suppose they were to say, oh, no, I can't play the organ. I can't play the piano. Well, now that'd be a lie because they're both good and we all know that they are good. We all know that they're very talented and they have every right to know what they are and to know that they're good at it. Listen, humility is not going around saying, I'm not this or saying, I'm not that. That's not humility. Jesus, knowing who he was, put on the form of a servant. And took on the place of a slave. Friend, listen, humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself, but rather thinking of the other person. Jesus, knowing who he was, he had the disciples on his heart and on his mind. And they were the ones that he wanted to teach a lesson to and to serve in that moment. Listen, self-acceptance is not pride. In fact, self-acceptance can be the cure for pride. It's not one saying, I'm no good, because when people say that, sometimes they just want somebody else to say, oh, yes, you are. They want to get that double compliment. Jesus knew who he was, that he came from God, and he was willing to serve anyway. Do you know what's true? Standing behind this pulpit this morning, I can say to you, I am born of God, and I am going home to God. You're not looking at a piece of junk up here. You're looking at a piece of redeemed humanity. And when I look at you, if you've been saved, you are redeemed humanity. What did the little boy say? I know I'm somebody because why? God don't make no junk. That's it, friend. Listen, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King if you've been saved. Humility is not saying, I'm nobody. Humility is not going around running yourself down. That's not humility. In fact, listen to this scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, here's the key, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, there's the key. Know who you are, but don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You see, sometimes someone might think, well, I'm too good to do this task, or I'm too good to do that task. Do you know what? When Jesus washed feet, he did away with all that. None of us are too good to do any task. Amen? None of us. We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You know what the grace of God will do? The grace of God will take a man and it will exalt him, but not make him proud. The grace of God can teach a man what he was, a sinner, without deflating him. That's the grace of God. It humbles you without deflating you. It exalts you without making you proud. Listen, what Paul say? I am what I am by the grace of God. Jesus knew who he was, and knowing who he was, he laid aside his garments. You see, that's true humility. Now, pride, on the other hand, drives wedges between people, but humility builds bridges of love between people. Now, Jesus had selfless love. You know, how do you build a bridge between you and someone else? You know, there's five steps to being able to do that. Five. Here's the first one. The first thing is that you have to come to that place that you say, God accepts me. Now, what is that? That's grace. It's grace that God accepts you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, I am made accepted in the beloved. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace means. Number one, that God accepts me. Here's the second step. I accept that God accepts me. Now what's that? God accepts me. That's grace. But I accept that God accepts me. That is faith. I just accept by faith that God accepts me. Okay, God accepts me as grace. I accept that God accepts me. That's faith. Here's the third thing. I accept me. Do you know what that is? That's peace. You'll not have peace in your heart until you come to know yourself and to accept yourself in the grace of Almighty God. God accepts me, grace. I accept that He accepts me, faith. I accept me, that is peace. Here's the fourth thing. Learn to love yourself. You have to love yourself. Now you say, wait a minute. Now, Brother Stephen, that seems backwards. I thought you're not supposed to love yourself. Well, whoever told you that? Jesus said that you ought to do unto others as you do unto yourself, would you? Now listen, you can't love you as much as you love me if you don't, first of all, love you. You've got to love you first. And so don't get the idea that it's wrong for you to... Listen, Is it wrong to love something that God loves? And you know what? God loves you. In fact, a person who does not love themselves is very dangerous. Because you see, if you don't first learn to love yourself, you can never love me. And you can never love anyone else. So don't get that idea. God accepts me. That's grace. I accept that God accepts me. That's faith. I accept me in the beloved. That's peace. I come to love myself. Grace, faith, peace, love. Now, when I say love yourself, now don't get up in the morning and look in the mirror and start singing how great thou art. That's not the idea. But you love that God has created you and Jesus has died for you. Okay, what's next? I accept you. You see? See, that's the steps. God accepts me. I accept God accepts me. I accept me. I love me. And now I'm in the position that I accept you. Grace, faith, peace, love, and the fifth one is fellowship. And you can't have fellowship unless, first of all, you've had grace, faith, peace, and love. And then comes that fellowship. And you know what happens now when I accept you? Now, I don't need to use you. I don't need to abuse you. I don't need to cut you down. I don't need to one-up you. I don't need any of that because now I accept you. You see, that's the seven other. Jesus had selfless love. Listen, there is nothing so empty as a self-centered life. There's nothing so centered as a self-empty life that just realizes who we are in Christ. Okay, there is selfless love. What's the second thing? Jesus had steadfast love. Remember how verse 1 ended? It ended by saying, He loved them unto the end. That is, He just kept on loving them. Listen, Jesus never stops loving. Now, what we do sometimes is we just love when everything's just right. I mean, if we're kind of in a bad mood, well, we say, stay out of my way. It's not a good day for me. I'm in a bad mood. Don't come around me. This is not a good day for love. God's given me some tribulation, and I'm going to tribulate. This is not the day for love. And we kind of excuse ourselves, don't we, by saying, well, this is not a good day for me to love. Do you know what? When we do that, that's no different than the pagans can do. That's no different than someone who's not a Christian can do. Listen, people who are not Christians can love you when everything's going their way. When everything's going just like it ought to. What made Jesus different? Jesus was about to go to the cross and die for you and me, and He was still loving anyway. He knew that men were going to slap Him, beat Him. He knew that people were going to pull the hair out of His beard. They were going to spit on Him. Put nails into His hands and His feet, put a crown of thorns on His head, and knowing all of that, Jesus is talking about loving other people. My, what a God we serve. Now, He washed the feet of these people who were about to make a whole bunch of mistakes. By the way, do you know how to know who your real friends are? You want to know? Just make a mistake. That's right. I mean, the people who are your real friends will still love you. What does the Bible say? Love covers a multitude of sins. You take somebody who's just always messing up, but people who love them, they find a way, don't they? You say, you know, this guy over here, Peter is just always messing up. Peter does this wrong. Peter does that wrong. But you find somebody who loves Peter, you know what they'll say? Now, wait a minute. Now, that might be true. But Peter does this, and Peter does that. Well, they do. They begin to stand up for him. You want to know who your friends are, make a mistake. The people who are not your friends will be through. They're done. Wrote you off. But the ones who are your friends will still love you. Jesus knew all the mistakes they were about to make before they made them. And He still loved them. Listen, if he hadn't been their friend, he would have abandoned ship. He'd have been done with them. I heard about a son who had been so hateful to his parents. Ugly. He had treated his mama and daddy like they were anything but his own family. He had acted like he wasn't even their child. Everybody knew about it. Everyone was talking about how this boy treated his mama and his daddy. But they were also talking about how his mama and daddy just kept on being so good to him. And they said that we don't know how they put up with that boy. That boy has given them so much trouble, so much pain, so much heartache. And they just keep loving him. Finally, someone went over to the daddy. He said, I'll tell you what, if that was my boy... And he began to give him a litany of things he'd do, which amounted to, I'd be done with him, I'd be through with him. And that father looked at him and he said, well, I'd do the same thing if he was your boy. But he's my boy. He's my son, and I'm going to love him to the end. You know what the psalmist said? Even when my father and mother cast me off, the Lord will take me up. Jesus loved them to the end. Selfless love. Steadfast love. Here's the third thing. Serving love. What'd he do? He put on this towel. He girded himself. He prepared a basin of water. He began to wash their feet. In other words, Jesus didn't just love with his mouth. Jesus loved with action. He didn't just love in word. He loved in deed and in truth. And love doesn't know any job that's too lowly to do. Jesus, who taught on the Sermon on the Mount, do good to those who despitefully use you, washed even Judas's feet. Love is willing to serve in the most menial of tasks. What do you feel like is too big for you to do? I don't exalt people from the pulpit. I don't believe we ought to do that. But I'm going to share with you one of the things that impressed me so much when I came here as your pastor, and it was so new to you, and just getting to know Levy, is that he's in heaven now. But that one of the most prominent businessmen in the city of North Little Rock, one of the most successful businessmen in the city of North Little Rock, an incredible story of going from nothing to something, a self-made man in a sense. God, of course, made him. But do you know where he was serving? In the nursery, at more than 80 years of age, changing diapers. He didn't think he was too good to do that. Friend, none of us are too good to do any task. Love does not feel that it's too good to do anything. When I was in Dermot, I pastored a man there who was a medical doctor in our town. We had a huge revival crusade we wanted to do. We wanted to mail something to every home in the city. Do you know what he came to me and said? A medical doctor. You know how busy they are? You know what he said? I want to help you stuff those envelopes. We've got to get this word out. Love says nothing is too small for me to do. God Himself in human flesh began to wash their feet. What does 1 John 3:18 say? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. What's the point I'm making? When we have that kind of love, we'll have more jobs being fulfilled around Levy Baptist Church, and we'll have less people who think they do God a great favor just by attending a service. That is, love wants to serve. It wants to get its hands dirty. It wants to act. Selfless love, steadfast love, serving love. What else? Sanctifying love. Look down in verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Do you know what Jesus was saying to Peter? Peter, I'm going to have to forgive you. Peter said, I don't understand what's going on. And Jesus said, Peter, you're about to know what's going on. You're going to understand hereafter. When Peter went out there and he acted so unbecoming of a Christian. He acted like anything but an apostle, certainly not a preacher. He cursed, he swore, and he did all that in front of a young teenage girl. And what did Jesus do? He forgave him. if you and I are nursing a hurt, if you and I are carrying a grudge, if you and I are saying about anyone, I will not forgive, friend, something is really wrong in our hearts. You say they don't deserve it. Probably right. They probably don't deserve it. You know what? Peter didn't deserve it either. And you and I don't deserve God's forgiveness either. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's a big man. It's a big woman who says, I know who I am. I know I'm born of God and I'm going to God. God accepts me. I accept that God accepts me. I accept me. I love me. And I accept you. Brethren, pride drives wedges. Love builds bridges. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer?